हरे कृष्णा। जय राधा माधव कुंद बिहारी, गोपी धना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, शोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंद बिहारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे, कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे, हरे रामा
कलियुग पावन हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की, श्री श्री राधा वृंदावन चंद्र की, श्री श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा महारानी की, श्री श्री गौरनिताय की, श्रीनिवास बालाजी की, समावेत भक्त वृंद की, श्रीला प्रभुपाद की, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की, ओम अज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजन शराकया चक्षुर्वन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकम्। वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमावों विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषाशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्पुषे नमः। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्तराधा कान्त नमोऽस्तुते। तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। जयति जयति देवो देवकी नन्दनोऽसौ जयति जयति कृष्ण वृष्णिवंशप्रदीपः जयति जयति मेघश्यामलकोमलाङ्गौ जयति जयति पृथ्वी भारनाशौ मुकुन्दौ वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम फोर्थ कैंटो 31st चैप्टर Text number 14, very famous verse today. Yata taror moola nishechanena Trippyanti tatskanda bhujopashakaha Pranopahara chayatendriyanam Tataiva sarvar hanamachyutejya. Please. यथा तरोर्मूलनिषेचनेन तृप्यन्ति तत्स्कन्ध भुजोपशाखा प्राणोपहारा चैतेन्द्रियाणां तथैव सर्वार्हणमच्युतेज्य। यथा as taroho of a tree, moola the root, nishechana nishechanena by watering, tripyanti are satisfied, tat its skanda trunk, bhuja branches, upashakaha and twigs, prana the life air, upaharat by feeding, cha and yatha as indriyanam of the senses, tata eva similarly sarva of all demigods, arhanam worship, achyuta of the supreme personality of Godhead, ijya worship, translation and purport by his divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki. As pouring water on the root of a tree energizes the trunk, branches, twigs and everything else, and as supplying food to the stomach enlivens the senses and limbs of the body, simply by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the devotional service, automatically satisfies the demigods who are parts of that Supreme Personality. One of you can read the purport, please.
Govinda. Purport. Sometimes people ask why this Krishna consciousness movement simply advocates worship of Krishna to the exclusion of the demigods. The answer is given in this verse. The example of pouring water on the root of a tree is very appropriate. In Bhagavad Gita 15.1, it is said, Urdhva Moolam Adha Shakham. This cosmic manifestation has expanded downward, and the root is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As the Lord confirms in Bhagavad Gita 10.8, Aham Sarvasya Prabhu. I am the source of all spiritual and material world. Krishna is root of everything. Therefore, rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Krishna Seva, means automatically serving all the demigods. Sometimes it is argued that karma and jnana require a mixture of bhakti in order to be successfully executed. And sometimes it is agreed that bhakti also requires karma and jnana for its successful termination. The fact is, however, that although karma and jnana cannot be successful without bhakti, bhakti does not require the help of karma and jnana. Actually, as described by Srila Rupa Goswami, Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam. Pure devotion service should not be contaminated by the touch of karma and jnana. Modern society is involved in various types of philanthropic works, humanitarian work and so on. But people do not know that these activities will never be successful unless Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is brought into the center. One may ask, what harm there is in worshipping Krishna and the different parts of his body, the demigods? And the answer is also given in this verse. The point is that by supplying food to the stomach, the indriya, the senses, are automatically satisfied. If one tries to feed his eyes or ear independently, the result is only havoc. Simply by supplying food to the stomach, we satisfy all the senses. It is neither necessary nor feasible to render separate service to the individual senses. The conclusion is that by serving Krishna, Krishna Seva, everything is complete. As confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 22.62, Krishna Bhakti Kaile Sarva Karma Krit Hai. If one is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything is automatically accomplished.
Hare Krishna. Beautiful verse. When Narada is speaking to Prachetas, he is giving this couple of examples. When you water the root of the tree, the trunk, the branches, the twigs, leaves, flowers, fruits, everything gets water. That's the mechanism. Water the root of the tree, everything gets nourished. Similarly, you put food in the belly, it mixes with gastric juice and then it converted into blood, sent to the heart. From the heart it is circulated to all over the body. This is the mechanism of nourishing the entire body or nourishing an entire tree. Similarly, ஈஸ்வரஹ பரம கிருஷ்ண சச்சிதானந்த விக்கிரஹ அநாதிராதிர் கோவிந்த சர்வ காரண காரணம். So this verse says Krishna is the sarva karana karanam. He is the root of not only material existence, he is the root of material and spiritual existence. So therefore that root should be nourished. Or there are other verses. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattah sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam udha bhava samanditaha. One devotee asked a question. Aham sarvasya prabhavo, he has already said, everything comes from me. Then why matta sarvam pravartate again? Or how is it different? Then I checked it. What is it? Then I understood. Aham sarvasya prabhavo means everyone comes from me. Matta sarvam pravartate means everything comes from me. Everyone and everything comes from me. So everything means jada. Everyone means chetan. So everything chetan, everything jada exists as a sapeksha satya, which means dependent truth. On Krishna, who is the nirapeksha satya? Who is the independent reality? Like, you know, the sun is independent reality. But the sun particles or the rays of the sun are dependent on the sun. If sun is not there, rays are not there. If sun is there, rays are there. Like that, they are dependent on the sun. So, therefore, because Krishna is the source of all existence, you should be worshipped. In 1971, ISKCON devotees were repeatedly writing to Prabhupada that there are two sisters in Nellur. They are ready to give a big land for ISKCON, something like 20 acres or so. So they are ready to give it to ISKCON. And we want your blessing, permission, Prabhupada, to take it. Prabhupada was abroad also, traveling. Prabhupada said, wait a minute, let us first understand exactly whether they are ready to give it unconditionally. They said, Prabhupada, they have only some small conditions. They said, what is it? They said, they say that we have to make a big hall where we have to make a library, and in that library we can keep ISKCON books, and we can also keep another one more mission books also, because they are already connected to that mission, they are going. They want both these books to be kept in that library. And that is one small condition, they said. Second condition, they want either a big statue of Saraswati or Ganesh to be kept in the entrance of that library. And every day they should be worshipped. That is one of their requests. Either they said. So Prabhupada said, we cannot keep any hodgepodge books in our library. We can only keep Gaudiya books. Of our acharyas. If they say they want to mix it with other books and all, we cannot allow that. And besides that, Prabhupada said the worship of Saraswati or Ganesh, which is done in schools, colleges sometimes, or in certain places, it is done more or less like a business deal. Business deal means it is done for material purposes, mundane purposes. You know, people who go to school, how much do you think they think of Saraswati? And they may have a murti, statue of Saraswati in front of which they may come and stand in the morning gathering or something like that. After that, one may hardly think of Saraswati during the day. And they don't have any relationship with Saraswati. They think that if we keep Saraswati, our children will get first rank or they may get a state first or something. It is more focused on what I want from Saraswati. Similarly, everybody knows you put a U or put a Ganesh so that this Ganesh will remove all my obstacles and I can get what I want. And after that, what? Ganesh, you relax. And then I will go ahead with things in my life. So Prabhupada said, this type of demigod worship is cut off from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Therefore, it is avidhi purvakam. Why Krishna says, ஏப்பியன்ன தேவதா பக்தா யஜந்தே ஸ்ரத்தையான்விதாஹ தேபி மாமேவ கௌந்தேய யஜந்தி அவிதி பூர்வகம். He says that anybody worshipping the devatas, that worship is ultimately done for me alone, he says. Because in this world you will see, Like you take a college, a school principal, they have many teachers below them. And then below the teachers there are class representatives in each class. And then below that there are children, other children. Now sometimes the children's dealing with class rep or with the teacher or with the head of the department or with ultimately the principal. If you see, all this dealing ultimately, when somebody gets a state first, immediately the credit goes to the principal of the school for bringing the state first, because it is the principal who is the person who is running the school and making the school a successful place for the children and teachers to come and flourish. You will see that. So now, although one may immediately be connected to a class rep or with a teacher and other people, ultimately the teachers are employed and the teachers are removed by the school principal. The students are allowed to continue, or the students are sometimes punished by removing them from the school. Ultimate sanctioner is the principal in the school. Similarly, the 33 crore devatas, they all are allowed to occupy the administrative positions in this universe, and that is by the sanction of the Lord. They are allowed to occupy for a certain type of service. Now somebody may say, if you say Krishna is the Supreme Lord, why does he need all these demigods? Can't he run the show himself if he is so powerful? Yes, he is definitely powerful to run everything on his own. But why does he not do that? Like, see, Lord Krishna in the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra, he could have taken his Sudarshan Chakra and just sent it across the Kaurava Sena. Finished. Everybody is flat on the ground. And Lord Krishna would have told Arjuna, Arjun, relax. War is over now. Now you Pandavas will rule the world. And then you think, you know, what do you think Mahabharata would be? It would be just one page only, one page book. You know, the Kurukshetra Yudha started and Lord Krishna finished everybody. That's all. That's Mahabharata. But Lord is not happy doing that. He wants to have loving exchange with his devotees. He wants opportunity for that, because that is the ultimate goal of everything in this creation. The Lord, the devotee, and the loving exchange between the two. There are ups and downs, there are challenges. Then it becomes more sweeter. You find even sometimes you hear some stories of Romeo and Juliet, or you know, you hear such kinds of love stories. Imagine if somebody tells you he was a man, she was a woman, and then they met, saw each other, they got attracted, and they loved each other, and they got married and settled. Nobody will want to read that story, isn't it? You know, then you hear that there was a villain who came into their life, and then he created a lot of difficulty, and how the hero, you know, defeated him, you know, and the bigger the villain, greater the, you know, enthusiasm for the people to know what exactly happened, how he tried to kidnap her, and how the hero came and everything. Then it is, so you will find Lord Krishna also, 18 days battle, he is riding the chariot. He can easily finish everybody, but he is riding the chariot and assisting his devotee, Arjuna and the Pandavas and everybody, seeing them getting into difficulty and helping them personally. And in the course of doing that, he is exchanging love, affection with his devotees, and the pastimes become very relishable for the other devotees also reading that. Similarly, the Lord gives devatas a position to hold in the universe, and the devatas feel gratitude. Oh, Lord is giving me this seva. Then I can enter some seva for the Lord by putting the best of my capacity. So they feel very joyful. The Lord also feels happy to have them and do that service and see the children happy. Just like the parents are happy when they see the children happy. Like some intelligent parents, in the behind their house, in the garden, they allot an area for their children. Beta, this is for you. This square is for you. And for another boy, this is a square for you. And that is for the daughter. So another daughter, two daughters, two sons, he allots. And then Father gives them clue, what you can do with this place. You plow this place, clean up this place, grow the green grass, grow some flower plants, grow some fruit plants, vegetable plants. And the children do that. And when the children are able to do that, the children feel enthusiastic that we could bring out a flower, bring out a fruit, and then you can make a garland and offer to the Lord. So the father offers opportunity for the children, and the children feel the relationship with the father becomes thicker. The father helps them fetch the water from the well, and the children run around, tending to the needs of the plants. So then there is an activity at home. Otherwise the father can just, he's a millionaire, he can just throw the money and ask the flower vendor and the vegetable vendor to just get it. Come and drop it at home and go. They will drop it and go, and the children will be idling at home, sitting with some iPad or something. Isn't it? There is no activity. So, Krishna also wants to give activities, engagements for the devatas and for all the devotees. In fact, Krishna has several times proved that he can go to any of the devatas and get anything he wants. He went to Varuna Devata's Loka and brought his Nanda Baba back. He went to Yamaloka and brought Guruputram back. He went to Mahavishnu Loka and brought the four sons of the Brahmana back. Is it not true? In this way you will find there is no devata who can surpass Krishna. There is no devata who can defeat Krishna. There is no devata who can say no to Krishna. When Krishna decides on something, they have to oblige because they are subordinate. And if any devata becomes unruly, because devatas have a material component, spiritual component. The spiritual component is they are doing it as a seva for the Lord. And as a material component, they have the desire to enjoy also. That there is a combination. Most of the devatas, some are pure devotees, like Shiva is a pure devotee, Brahma is a pure devotee, Ganesh is a pure devotee. So, otherwise devatas also have, like Indra, develops a desire to lord over the Vrijabasis or dominate Vrijabasis. Then the Lord knows how to punish them also and bring them to their senses. And then they feel more thicker relationship with Krishna again. Because Krishna has not chucked them out of the post. But Krishna tells them, my dear Indra, you may go now. Continue to render the service of the water department. But never become proud. Never imagine you are autonomous. And this can happen even amongst guru and disciples. Sometimes a guru initiates a disciple. In the early days when a disciple was coming, he thinks guru is everyone, everything for him. He worships guru like God only. But once he gets initiated, then he gets Brahman initiated. Then he does lot of services, he may achieve lot of successes. Then one can become a guru drohi. One can actually bring bad repute to guru by misbehavior. Or one can actually turn against the guru's interest and become whimsical and go headlong in wrong direction, exactly doing opposite to what guru wants. Displeasing guru, like Ramachandrapuri was displeasing Madhavendrapuri, was acting against guru's interest. You can see that. Similarly, somebody may bring disrepute to guru. So, when Krishna saw Indra is misbehaving, he rectified his behavior. When Brahma also tried to misbehave with Krishna and Brahma Vimohalila, Krishna rectified him. And Lord continued to give them service. So, you will see that in this way, all the devatas, yepyanna devata bhakta yajante shraddayanvitaha depi mame vakaunte yajanti avidhi purvakam. Why it is avidhi purvakam? Krishna says, because people may keep Saraswati deity or Ganesh deity, but they don't see the connection of the deity with Krishna. That is avidhi purvakam. They don't recognize that connection. Their worship is disconnected. Therefore, their worship is mundane. Mundane means what? They think, this Saraswati will give me good education, this Ganesh will remove obstacles, and I will enjoy life, and I will flourish in my material life. That is their goal. So because they will flourish in their material life, in the material world, they will be reborn again and again, millions of times. Therefore it is avidhi purvakam. If somebody can worship demigods in connection to the Supreme Lord. For example, one time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to a Shiva temple and he danced there vigorously and loudly chanted the holy name, and for a long period of time and all the people there, they also joined dancing and singing. And after that, Mahaprabhu accepted the prasadam offered to Shiva and he put it in his mouth. Seeing that, who asked this question? One very great Vaishnava, Murari Gupta, or someone asked this question, he asked this question to Advaita Acharya Prabhu. How is it that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who follows the path of Ananya Bhakti, is accepting the prasad that is offered to Shiva? Then he got the answer from Mahaprabhu himself. Mahaprabhu said that the person who is a worshipper of Shiva is a great Vishnu Bhakta, lover of Vishnu. And he sees Shiva as a Parama Vaishnava. Vaishnavanam Itashambhu. In fact, he always offers Shiva that prasad which is first offered to Vishnu only. So because he himself is a great Vaishnava and in his family he happened to be coming in this lineage of worshipping the Shiva in a small temple. Mahaprabhu saw the state of consciousness of that devotee and then Mahaprabhu accepted the prasad as Mahamaha prasad of Shiva. So, because that person was seeing the connection of Shiva to Krishna as Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. So anyone who can see the connection can derive spiritual advantage from demigods. What is the spiritual advantage from demigods? Shiva, like, can Shiva give liberation to conditioned souls or not? The answer is yes and no. Why? Why no? He is a demigod. He cannot give. Mukti pradata sarvesham Vishnur evana samshayaha. That means mukti can only be given by Vishnu and nobody else. Harim vina mritim nataranti. Without blessing of Lord Hari, nobody can transcend death. And Shiva being a demigod, he cannot give moksha. That's the answer. Then why I told yes and no? Yes, because Shiva is Vaishnavana Yathashambhu. Anybody who accepts Shiva like that, like the Prachetas accepted as a Parama Vaishnava. Or as Markandeya Rishi, one day was sitting and performing meditation. And all the apsaras came in front of him and danced very beautifully, moving their hands and legs and forms and shaking their bodies. But Markandeya Rishi was absolutely not disturbed even a bit. He was sitting like a Meru Parvat, very strong and straight in meditative posture, wearing the deer skin. And for millenniums, he has been practicing tapasya like this. And apsaras got tired after dancing for a long time, they went away. After that, then Shiva and Parvati came on a Nandi bull. Parvati said, just see this person. What a powerful person he is. He is such a great devotee of Lord Hari. He is undisturbed in his mind. His mind even didn't get little softened by all this display of apsara dance. And then she said, you should definitely bless this person. Then Shiva said, so be it, no problem, come, let's go. So they both came near. And as Lord Shiva stood in the Nandi Bail along with Parvati, waiting for Markandeya to open his eyes, Markandeya was wrapped in absorption and meditation on Krishna. Then Shiva entered his chitta and gave darshan inside his heart. As soon as this Markandeya Rishi saw Lord Shiva in his heart, immediately opened his eyes and then saw him in front of him. And then when he saw Shiva, immediately he got up, he bowed down, offered obeisances and offered profuse prayers and glorification of Shiva. And then Shiva told him, please ask me any benediction you want. So Markandeya said, you know, I only can ask for one benediction. That let me always get regular association of pure devotees of Lord Hari like you. Like that he said. So he saw Lord Shiva as a pure devotee of Lord Hari. By such association, I can always advance in my spiritual life. In that place only you will find there are two verses. Harir ki nirguna sakshat. Like that, there is a verse. There is one verse before that, which says that the demigods award generally only those commodities and products within three gunas. Whereas Lord Hari is Harir ki nirguna sakshat. Because Lord Hari is gunatit, beyond the three gunas, he can award transcendental blessings or divine blessings upon the soul. He can award that ability is with Lord Hari. And that same ability is also there in Hari Bhaktas. They can also award something transcendental. So he saw Shiva as a great devotee of Lord Hari. So he could derive transcendental benefit by his association. Therefore, Lord Shiva as a Vaishnava can give mukti or liberation for a jiva also. And Shiva as a demigod cannot give. Therefore, I told you yes and no. So, in this way, if you don't want to do avidhi purvakam, then we should see the connection. That is very important. Connection between Krishna and the devata. As I told you, the devata worship is generally in this world impelled by business-like desires. I want to do some business, material desires for myself, I am going to worship them. But the worship of Krishna is impelled by selfless, loving devotion. That is actually the root cause of bhakti in the heart of, root cause of worship of a devotee. Yeah, devotee has no other expectation. And Krishna also says that I reciprocate with my devotee's devotion. Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mayi te teshu chapyaham. He says that. So in return, what does Krishna do for the devotee? He says, yoga kshemam vahami aham. He says, I preserve what they have and I provide what they lack. Now what can a devotee lack? Devotee has everything. But in case a devotee who engaged in avaveda bhakti, shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, archanam, mandanam, padasevanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam, all these are spiritually potent items. They make the devotee's heart very nourished spiritually. And the devotee is unable to spend a moment without Krishna. He has to go from one Krishna conscious activity to another Krishna conscious activity. He cannot be separated from the Lord even for a moment. So when a devotee lives life like that, Krishna takes note of this. But at another time, imagine that a devotee is suddenly allured by Maya. Because a devotee has rendered this kind of selfless service to the Lord says, I protect my devotee. As soon as my devotee becomes fully Krishna conscious, satatam kirtayanto mam, Lord says, then I protect my devotee. So I personally take care of the devotee. And by my protection, my devotee can be saved from all dangerous and difficult situations. Machitta sarva durgani mat prasadat tarishyasi atachetva mahankaram na shroshyasi vinankshyasi. Krishna said, Machitta sarva durgani, all kinds of difficult circumstances. Mat prasadat tarishyasi. By my mercy, my devotee can cross over very easily. In this world, all of us face different type of challenges. Somebody is provoked by lust. Somebody is provoked by anger. Somebody is provoked by intolerable situations presented by different living entities around. So, in this way, Krishna says, my devotee's Krishna consciousness will never be spoiled. It will be protected if a devotee is fully Krishna conscious. Of course, if a devotee is not fully Krishna conscious, he has become diluted in Krishna consciousness, he takes a detour to do something else, instead of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, I am now concluding the Gita Rahasyam today, 18th chapter. In my understanding of this whole Gita summary, which I have been preparing all these days, one thing I understood, that Krishna wants his devotees to do devotional service without material motivations. In fact, if somebody is impelled to do devotion service for some material popularity, name, fame, or following, or if anybody feels very proud of one's ability to achieve something very great. So, this type of thing comes in mode of passion. Correct, no? So, therefore, you find in Karma Yoga, Krishna said it in 3rd chapter, then 5th chapter, then later on also. So, Nishkama Karma Yoga is actually the beginning. So, from Nishkama Karma Yoga can gradually transform into Bhakti Yoga. When Nishkama Karma Yoga means I do something and I offer it to Krishna. But in Bhakti Yoga, one is impelled by a selfless desire to express one's loving devotion to Krishna. So, when once Krishna consciousness becomes full, then Krishna cannot allow a devotee to fall away back to material platform. Rather, a devotee, Krishna will twist the ears of the devotee and bring him back, whatever it takes. So, in this way, a devotee gets amritam, everlasting imperishable results by surrendering to Krishna, whereas the demigod worshipper gets something very puny, something material. Because the demigods, their gifts and their followers, everybody will be destroyed at the time of Pralaya, as the Pralaya waters rise above higher and higher levels. Or even if one gets a very great Indra Loka, Chandra Loka, any great planet also. Hetam bhuktva sargalokam vishalam kshine punye matyalokam vishanti evam triye dharma manu prapanna gata agatam kama kama alabante gata agatam, he says. The jivas go out upper planets by worshipping demigods and they come back, he says. Whereas in Krishna says, yad gatva nanivartante, he says. So there are two words used in Bhagavad Gita. One is mrityu samsara vartmani, he says. Again, the jiva returns back to birth and death. Another word is apavarga vartmani, means one goes to back to Godhead. So worship Krishna, apavarga vartmani. Worship demigods, mrityu samsara vartmani. Then why worship demigods separately without worshipping them in connection to Krishna? Like our Rukmini, when she went to the Ambika temple, on either side of Rukmini there were soldiers doing march past, carrying their weapons in their hands. Talk, 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 everybody walking. And she was carried on a palanquin in the middle. And so, very strictly, rigidly guarded. Nobody can penetrate that military troops to enter and take Rukmini. So, she went to that Ambika's temple. Namaste Twambike. She is praying to the Ambika and she is telling that may Lord Krishna become my husband. Like that she prayed. Oh Ambika, who is the wife of Shiva, you are Bhavani and you have two children, Ganesha and Kartikeya, sitting on your lap, and I have come here to perform a puja for you so that you will bestow upon me the greatest gift of having Krishna as my husband. Like that she is praying. She is not offering any prayer independent of Krishna. She is not telling, hey, Ambike, you are the personified material energy. Please give me some gold necklace or, you know, gold nupur or something. She is not asking anything of this world. She is asking something of that world, eternal world. The eternal personality, Krishna. So, therefore this verse says that one should actually water the root of the tree. Watering the root of the tree means Lord Achyuta is the root of the tree. Lord Krishna, Achyuta is non-different from Krishna. Achyuta is the same. The Lord who never fails in his reciprocation with his devotees. If somebody has performed a devotion service to him, even if they have forgotten, he will not forget. Lord is not a person easily to forget. Even if a jiva has shown a slight interest in the Lord, Lord will take a tremendous interest in that jiva to return back. So, Prahlad Maharaj in one of the verses says very beautifully, Naivatmana praburayam nijalabha purno manam janada vidushakkaruno vrinite yadyajjano bhagavate vidadhi tamanam tachatmane pratimukasya yathamukha shrihi. He is telling, naivatmana praburayam nijalabha purno. My dear Krishna, what will you gain by the different types of worship your devotees offer you? We are offering you flowers. We are offering you fruits. We are offering you dresses. We are offering you jewelry. We are putting a festival for you. Even if we don't do all these things, are you going to fall short? You are having Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Sambrama Sevyamanam. Sahasra means 1000. Shata means 100. So Sahasra Shata means how much? 1 lakh. You have 1 lakh Lakshmis serving you in the spiritual world. And all of them are exquisite beauty, spotless beauties. And they are all in their spiritual bodies. And they have, you know, and they all are constantly serving you in the spiritual world. With so much of eatables and beverages and decorations of garlands and garments and songs and instruments they are playing. And you are being adored and glorified not only by those Lakshmis, by all the demigods like Shiva and Brahma, Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu. They all are dancing and singing your glories. So, what will you lack if you don't offer your worship? And this is a Bhuloka is a far, far away from Goloka. And it is a material world. And in that one small, tiny planet. And I am thinking that I am offering Krishna all these things. It is your kindness and graceful attitude that you have appeared in the form of a deity in front of us to accept our worship by the request of a pure devotee. You have come to accept the garments we want to put on you and the garlands and the ornaments and our puja, little puja we want to offer you. You are ready to accept it. It is your kindness. Otherwise, you don't need any favor from anybody. Nāyascha kaschit daitosti karhichit dvishyascha asmin vishama mater ninam. Even Kunti Mani says, Nā veda kaschit bhagavamscha kirshitam taveha manasya ninam vidambanam nāyascha kaschit daitosti karhichit dvishyascha asmin vishama mater ninam. She is telling, who can do any favor to you, Krishna? In this world, people connect with others because they can gain some favors. Otherwise, nobody will connect. People always think, if I connect with that fellow, I'll get this. If I connect with this fellow, I'll get this. So people connect. But you don't have to connect with anybody because nobody can give you any favors. In fact, all favors are bestowed upon the jivas by you. How? If jivas come and bow down to you, you are a varadarishabha. You can give varadan to them, benedictions to them. You can give somebody a house. You can give, a girl is not married, you can get her married by sending a boy. Somebody has no job, he is crying, coming to you, you can give him a job. Somebody has no putra bhagyam, they got married 10 years ago, you give them a putra. Somebody is starting a business, it's a sluggish and stagnant business, they pray to you in the form of Balaji and then you bless them. Immediately business shoots up like anything. People get so many material benedictions by coming to you. Not only that, there are people who are fed up with material enjoyment, you know. So, they are expecting freedom from the papa karma, bojh. They have got accumulated a lot of sins in the past. They beg you, please remove me from this truckload of sinful reactions. And you, aham tvam sarva papavi mokshishyami, can very easily remove the sins of the people. Somebody is saying, my Lord, please relieve me of this karma bandhana. We can relieve them from material bondage. And somebody is begging, please give me moksha, oh my Lord. You give them moksha. And somebody is saying, oh Krishna, please kindly, bless me with your company. Okay, then you bring them to your company. Somebody begs for service at your lotus feet. You give them service. Somebody wants your friendship. So give them your friendship. Somebody want to dance with you in rasa dance, so you give them rasa dance for joy of dancing with them. In this way, the jivas are borrowing from you everything. And the jivas are beggars. They are borrowing everything from you. So what can they do for you? They can't do anything for you. Naivatmana praburayam nijalabapurno. We get benefit from you. Nijalabapurno. We only gain benefit by serving you. Manam janada vidushak karuno vrinite. You are most merciful, even to the foolish living entities, who cannot know you, who cannot understand you fully. They can't comprehend your vastness, greatness, your potencies and ability. But you come in the form of a deity, smiling beautifully, playing on your flute, giving blessing to the conditioned souls who come to the temple. Many of the people coming to temple, they don't have much philosophical knowledge. But they know one thing, God is great. We are small and we should bow down before God. If you put your head on Lord's lotus feet, all good will come to you. Everything auspicious will happen to you. Just you, He is our mother, He is our father, He is our relative, He is our friend, He is be all and end all for us. This faith many people have. With that faith, even a foolish person can come to temple. He may bring some fruit for you, a flower for you, he can circumambulate after you, and you bless those people also. So, in order to show favor to those people, you are ready to extend yourself. Just like when His Holiness Gopakrishna Maharaj had come to Pune, he was telling me that his health was not good, he has to sleep early, 10 o'clock. But then next day I came to know that he was awake till 12:30 at night. He was keeping awake and meeting devotees coming one by one, so many families, because he had to go back next day. So just like he extended himself to show favor to the long queue of devotees patiently waiting beyond night 10 o'clock, he was ready to extend the favor for a couple of more hours. Similarly, on Janmashtami day, the Lord is ready to extend himself. You know, he is keeping awake till, not only devotees are keeping awake, Lord is ready to be awake till 2 o'clock. To give darshan to his devotees. Similarly, in Jagannath Puri also, Lord gives darshan hours and hours and hours for the devotees. So, we have to recognize this, Lord's mercy. And then he is saying, Yatyajjano Bhagavate Vidadita Manam, Tachatmane Pratimukasya Etamukashri. Whichever person comes and offers you something, in fact, the more they offer you, the more he gains. For example, if I put a, if I put a tilak for Krishna, like for example, if I put a bindi in the person's face, then the reflection also gets bindi in the mirror. If you put a kundal here, the kundal comes in the reflection also. So the jivas are all tiny reflections of Krishna. And by serving and pleasing Krishna, we become actually happy. So, like Chandan Yatra time, when sun is hot, instead of worrying about our heat, we make Chandan and apply on Lord's body. Then devotees dance and chant. Very joyfully, sweating, all their dresses are drenched with sweat, still they feel great joy that Lord is wearing Chandan today so beautifully. So by making the Lord happy selflessly, the devotees ultimately become supremely happy, because that in happiness that comes from within us is a gift of Krishna. Krishna gives that gift to his devotees. So this is a great secret. Like I am coming from the say Pune station, carrying a heavy luggage. And both the hands are carrying luggage and the hands are paining, shoulders are paining. And my hands are feeling very weak because the train got 8 hours late. You know, I am supposed to come at 8 o'clock in the morning. Now I am, arriving at 4 o'clock in the evening. I didn't eat anything. I just ate some fruits or something. So, at that time, my hands are feeling very, very weak. If hands have to become strong, what should the hand do? You know, take the food and put in the belly, then the hands get strong. So by giving to Krishna, the jiva gets strong. So Prabhupada gives a beautiful example. The finger sometimes has a wound. Then what happens? Because of the wound, the finger cannot put signature. The man wants to put signature, but the wounded finger cannot cooperate with him. Similarly, the diseased jivas means who want to enjoy separate from Krishna, they don't want to allow Krishna to do his work, like putting signature. So then what should the finger do? You put some ointment, put a bandage, when you get cured, it's a healthy finger. Now it assists in putting signature for the person. Similarly, we can please Krishna by becoming healthy spiritually. And the method of becoming healthy is, take ourselves out of the center and put Krishna in the center. And worship Krishna's lotus feet by all means, by chanting the holy name, by offering all our skills and talents, engaging everyone in Krishna's service. In this way, serving the root makes all the jivas become blissful and joyful. This is the program. In Ishopanishad, Prabhupada says this. Like a father in a home should be cooperated by all the children and wife and everybody. Similarly, the prime minister in a country should be cooperated by all the citizens. Similarly, we should cooperate with Krishna's plan, align with Krishna's plan, become one with Krishna's consciousness. So, when jiva and Krishna become one in consciousness, it's a joyful time for both. Like Jesus said, I and Father are one, he said. One doesn't mean that Father and Son are smashed together into one lump of flesh. I and Father are one means they are one in consciousness. They are very joyful instead of being independent in consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, thank you very much.